Okay, we want to continue looking at how to study the Bible. We've come to the point of observing details. It goes without saying, you cannot really say that you've studied the Bible if you neglect details, if you do not pay attention to details. And of course, when it comes to the Bible, we ought to be very interested in the details, in the most minute details. We need to train ourselves to not to read over details. A lot of people have made serious errors in their life because they did not observe details of Scripture. And many people approach the Scriptures in a general sort of way without observing details. In observing details, we've seen the last several weeks that, and again, this isn't an English class, but we do need to recognize words, parts of speech. Every word has a function, and we mean every word. Every word has a job to do, and that's how we need to look at words. What is the function of this particular word? What is the job of this particular word? And the parts of speech, again, are like the pieces of a puzzle. Every word has a place. It fits somewhere. It's connected to something. There's not a single word that's just out there floating around. It has a place, and we need to always be aware of that and always try to keep words in their proper place. Again, if you're working a puzzle, you do not try to force a piece that does not fit. And a lot of people do that with scriptures. They try to force something to fit that doesn't fit. And that's where much false theology comes from. But the parts of speech ask questions or answer questions, and we ought to always be asking questions: who, what, when, where, why, how. The parts of speech answer those questions. We've looked at nouns, which people, places, and things, as we know. We've looked at pronouns, which take the place of a noun. And we try to stress the importance of pronouns in the Word of God. It's so important. And sometimes it's difficult, especially in the book of Song of Solomon. It can be very difficult to sometimes figure out who is speaking. And so, but it is important that we keep track of pronouns, that we observe shifts in pronouns, so we always know who's speaking, who they're speaking to, who they might be speaking of, or what they might be speaking of. Now, an adjective describes a noun or pronoun. So if we're interested in details, we're going to definitely be interested in adjectives, because adjectives describe. They describe the noun. They describe the pronoun. They set limits to a noun or a pronoun. They usually, but certainly not always, they usually precede the noun or pronoun that it describes, but there are times, and we'll look at just a couple, there are times when the adjective may follow the noun. But either way, they are describing They are giving us information. So the job of an adjective is to give us further information about a person, place, or thing. That's the job of an adjective, to give us more information. So adjectives are very helpful in creating a word picture. I believe when we read the scriptures, if we pay attention to details, we can get a very vivid picture in our minds. And I think we need to do that. The Word of God is excellent at painting a picture. But many times people read something and they fail to see the picture because they're just glancing. They haven't gotten into the details. So that's the purpose of an adjective. Now again, an adjective usually comes before the noun or pronoun, but certainly not always. Notice in Exodus 36, and in the description, in Exodus 25, Exodus 36, several places in the book of Exodus, where you have the instruction for building the tabernacle. The Lord makes use of many adjectives because he wanted things to be precise. And many times when we look at the instruction for the tabernacle, the adjective does follow the noun. Sometimes it comes before, sometimes it can be both in the same verse. For example, in Exodus 36 and verse 11, and he made loops, that's the noun, of blue. That's the adjective describing the loops. They are to be of blue. Verse 13, and he made 50 tacks of gold. Now again, both cases, the adjective follows the noun. The loops, what do we know about them? They're blue. The tacks, they are of gold. That doesn't mean they're gold in color. It means they're gold in material. They are of gold. Verse 14, he made curtains, and again the adjective follows, of goat's hair. So he's describing. These adjectives describe the noun. Notice in John chapter 5, John chapter 5, here we have, of course, the man at the pool of Bethesda. We have Christ coming to the pool of Bethesda. In verse 3, in these, that is in these five porches. Porches is a noun, five is an adjective describing the porches. In these porches, these being a pronoun, just going back to porches, lay a great, that's an adjective, multitude. Great here means large number. It's describing multitude. But then we see, so we have an adjective before the noun, great, the noun being multitude, and then we have adjectives after the noun, further describing this great multitude. So the Lord doesn't just say, in these five porches lay a multitude of people. He says a great multitude, emphasizing many. And then he emphasizes their condition. And these are adjectives. They're impotent. These are crippled. They're blind. They're halt. They're withered. All of those are adjectives describing this great multitude. Then the next word, waiting, of course, is a verb. It tells us what they're doing. So again, We see the details, and you begin to get a picture in your mind of this great group of people in these porches, and you begin to picture in your mind their condition, and it's really a pitiful sight. In the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 2. And a certain man, certain also is an adjective, we'll get to that another time. So it's talking about a particular. The noun, of course, is man. He's the subject of this verse. We see there's an adjective before certain, but there's also an adjective after. He's lame. There, and a certain man lame. So we know this man is crippled. He then goes on, of course, to give us more detail. In verse 11, we see the adjective comes before, still speaking of the same man, but now the adjective comes before and has the lame man. Man is the noun, the subject. Lame is the adjective describing this man. So we need to recognize, and the Bible's full of adjectives, we need to recognize adjectives when we see one. Why? Because they give us detail. They give us information. They further describe. So it's not something that we want to just look over. In general, an adjective answers or can answer four questions about a noun or about a pronoun. It answers the question many times of what kind. What kind? What kind of thing, what kind of person is being spoken of? That's a detail. It can also answer the question of which one. Which person? Which thing? Noun can answer the question of how many. We see this all through the scriptures. When you see a number spelled out, that's an adjective. It's describing how many. How many? How many people? How many things? Now, an adjective can also answer the question, how much? How much? So, they answer questions. When we read the Word of God, again, we ought to be asking questions. Adjectives answer those questions. And if the Spirit of God led the writer to, for example, back in Exodus 36, to say the loops were blue, you say, what difference does it make? Well, obviously it made a difference, or he wouldn't have mentioned it. So it's important. It's important that we get the details. You know, many times when people talk, they talk in generalities. They never really get into details. And many times when people read, it's the same thing. They just read in generalities and not get in details. But we said that adjectives help to answer what kind. Genesis 6, verse 14, we don't have to turn there, but remember when God was instructing Noah to build the ark. He didn't just say, Noah, build an ark of wood. He said, gopher wood. Gopher is the adjective. It tells us what kind of wood. He didn't just tell them the material in general, wood, but he used an adjective to describe the kind or the type. of wood. Again, an adjective can answer the question of what kind. David with Goliath. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40 says that he used smooth stones. Smooth is the adjective describing the stones. That's a detail. He didn't just use a stone, but he used smooth stones. Another, if you turn over to Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. He's talking about the Israelites crossing over the Jordan River. And the priests bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, stood firm on, notice it doesn't just say unground, but it uses an adjective, dry. That word describes the ground. And that's very important here. They didn't cross over on muddy ground or damp ground, but dry ground. That emphasizes the miracle. So just that simple adjective, dry, not only does it describe the ground, but it also marks how miraculous this was. Notice in Psalm 107, Psalm 107, in verse 35, he turneth the wilderness into a standing water, describing the water standing, and dry ground. Again, dry is the adjective describing the ground, and it manifests the miracle here of what the Lord can do. It doesn't just say he turns ground into water springs. If you thought that, you might think of damp ground. But he uses an adjective, dry. Dry ground. He turneth dry ground into water springs. That again emphasizes the miraculous. So again, that adjective dry is very important. Psalm 23, verse 2, we read green pastures. Green pastures means fertile. Green is the adjective. It doesn't just say the Lord leads us into pastures. Why, that could leave us to think that it could lead us into barren pastures or almost barren. But he leads us into green pastures. Then he uses still waters, waters being the noun, still being the adjective describing the waters. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 49. He, God, cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble, by sending evil angels. Angels, of course, is the noun. Evil is the adjective describing the noun. If he just said angels, that's too general. Could be good angels, could be bad angels. Evil angels, of course, bad angels are demons. God sent evil angels among them. You say, well, I don't see where it matters if we could figure it out. But you see, God doesn't leave us to figure it out. because we get in a lot of trouble figuring things out. He specifically tells us they're evil angels. And this exemplifies this one detail, evil. God sent the evil angels. So what does that exemplify? It exemplifies God's sovereignty, even over demons. That God is in control. Psalm 143:6, we read of thirsty land. Not just land, but thirsty land, which of course gives us the picture of dry land. Once again, Proverbs 25, verse 20, he says, heavy heart. Heart, of course, is the noun. Heavy describes the noun. Gives us information about the heart. Song of Solomon 2, in verse 3, we read, apple tree. Didn't just say tree. That could leave us to our imagination thinking of all kinds of trees. He said apple tree. Now, if he just says tree, then we don't need to know what kind of tree it was. It's amazing to me, if the Lord says tree or flower, everybody's trying to figure out what kind of flower it is. If he wanted you to know what kind of flower it was, if he wanted you to know what kind of tree it was, guess what? He would have told you. We don't have to figure it out. That's where people get in trouble. Just stick with what it says. Don't try to figure out what's not there. If God didn't put it there, we don't need to know. And it's foolish to... Preachers do it all the time. Well, what kind of tree you think it was? And I always say, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because if the Lord wanted us to know what kind of tree it was, he would have told us. This is the way it is all through Scripture. We read in Isaiah 32 in verse 2. Of a great rock. That speaks of the size of the rock. But then he goes on, he says, in a weary land. So you have two nouns, rock and land, and you have two adjectives. Great and weary. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. All our righteousness has filthy rags. Didn't just say as rags, but filthy. Filthy rags. Notice in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll... I haven't looked at the clock. We'll close. And he said unto them, that would be the demons, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd, whole would be an adjective also, but that's not what we want to notice here. The whole herd of swine ran, tells us what they did, how they did it, violently down a steep place. Not just an incline, but a steep place. Describing perhaps why they ran violently, as if they couldn't stop, because it's a steep place. And we can, if he would have just said hill, well, we could picture all kinds of hills. But when he says steep, we get a pretty good idea of what is being said here. So again, just a simple word helps in creating a picture in our minds. And when we read the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, we need to get a picture. It's somewhat humorous when people, and I heard about this weekend, but you know, it's good when you can show a picture when you're preaching, and he's talking about on a screen, because people get it then. The Bible paints a picture, and what we need to do is not look at a screen of pictures, but we need to pay attention to words. And those words create a picture in our minds. They create a picture. I mean, do you, when the Lord says that he, when David says, the shepherd leads me beside still waters, do you actually need a picture up on a screen for you to understand what still waters are? Well, I certainly hope not. We understand it. Still waters. The Lord already paints us the picture. We don't need to recreate it. Just leave it alone. He paints a beautiful picture, and he does so all through the Word of God. And this is why adjectives are so, so important. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house. We do thank you, Lord, for your Word. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to read your Word, the privilege that you give us to read it and study it. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us to, that you would increase our interest in your Word, increase our hunger and our thirst for your Word. Help us, Lord, to understand it at all times. We pray as we worship you this day that it would be for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.